Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome. Sit back and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and today I'm really thrilled because with me I have Denise Thompson. Founder and owner of Crisis Response Consulting, Denise is a licensed clinical social worker and a graduate of Florida State University. As Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Air Force Reserve, she served over 9 years of active duty, including 2 deployments following September 11, 2001. During this period of active duty, Denise served as Chief Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Deployment Operations and 5 years as Chief Behavioral Health for the U.S. Air Force Reserve Command Surgeon General. Crisis Response Consulting is an organization dedicated to strengthening crisis and disaster response resources, building resiliency, and enhancing support to first responders, individuals affected by traumatic events, communities, and organizations through consultation, education, and training. Denise, thank you so much for joining us. Probably in our history, have the services that you provide and the contribution you're making to the world been more important.
That's true. There's a lot going on in our world today that is very traumatic and disturbing and affects a large number of individuals. So I'm really glad that this is one of my talents and my gifts that I can give back to people.
Well, tell us a little bit about your history and how this came to be your true vision and purpose in life.
Well, I think it's sort of interesting how I even got involved in the social work field. I grew up in a small town in Iowa and very involved in the Lutheran church there. And I taught Sunday school and Bible school, was involved in the choir and youth group. And in my senior year, we had a female pastor. And I was She was a very good role model, and she was a mentor. And at that time, I didn't know what I wanted to do in my life. And so I really thought about going into doing something within the church. And so I went to a small Lutheran college for my undergraduate degree, and I had actually thought about going into the seminary. And as I thought about what I should do and how best to help people and looking at all my options and talking to different professors, it seemed like seminary was probably not where I should go, but that social work was a better fit for me to help a larger number of people. So I completed my undergraduate degree in social work, and I loved education, I loved learning, and I thought, you know what, I need to add more to my skills than what I have. And so I decided to go to Florida State University for my master's degree, and it was sort of ironic because I told my parents and I told my professors, and I said, hey, I applied for Florida State, and that's where I'm going to go. And they're like, well, do you only apply to one graduate program? And I'm like, well, yes, but they have a really good program, and that's where I want to go. So I only applied there. Why? Is that a problem? And they're like, well, normally people don't get accepted to their first choice. That's why they apply to several different universities. And I'm like, but I don't want to go anywhere else. So that's where I'm going to go. And luckily I got accepted. And so I went into a clinical program and spent time working with homeless individuals, working with lower socioeconomic individuals. And I also did my clinical rotation in a VA hospital, working with veterans, mainly the Vietnam era at that time. It was in the late 80s, and worked with PTSD and other chronic mental health illnesses. And it's like, you know what? This is where I'm supposed to be. This is supposed to be my focus, and working with individuals who have mental health issues. And so that sort of started my career. I mean, I've been a therapist now for 25 years, but that sort of started my career. I sort of thought of one path and how I could use my services in that area. And then it was sort of decided that's not where I needed to go. And no one necessarily decided that for me. It was just a sense and a feeling I had to go down this different path.
And tell us a little bit about what that path has meant to you, Denise, because it's just so amazing what you've done.
Well, it's really hard to, you know, in a few sentences, describe 25 years worth of working with individuals who have needed support after traumatic events. And when I first started out, I didn't know that I was going to spend most of my career in trauma. I have provided support to children who have been physically and sexually abused, adults who have been physically and sexually abused. I've spent years providing support in the military, dealing not only with combat-related PTSD, but sexual assault, PTSD, and other mental health illnesses. Probably the last 12 years or so, I've concentrated on providing support to first responders, police officers, firefighters, EMS, who have experienced traumatic events in their line of work. And I guess it comes back to having a sense of fulfillment, because I am able to use my education, my interpersonal skills, to talk someone through something that if they don't necessarily get support to work through it, we know that that event can become so overwhelming in their life that they may become dysfunctional. And or worse, with depression or PTSD or a significant level of anxiety, someone may become suicidal. And so to me, it's giving of my time, but it's also being a lifesaver for someone else. And that really has been a motivating factor in me continuing for almost 25 years working in the field of trauma and making sure that people can get linked up to the resources that they need and that there's an avenue for them to talk with somebody or to process what has happened. Because most of the time when you talk to military members and first responders, they want to continue doing their job. No matter what they have experienced, no matter what has affected them, no matter what they have faced in their job, they are still committed to doing their job because they see themselves, their job is saving other people's lives. You know, one of the things in dealing with military members especially and talking to people who have had multiple deployments, and oftentimes they talk about, but I'm ready to go back. No matter what they're struggling with today, no matter what their injuries may be, there's still this sense of commitment and there's this sense of mission and that they still want to go back and finish whatever job they may think is not finished yet. And they want to go back and do the best that they can because they realize that what they do saves lives and helps others. So when I talk to those individuals and their motivation to keep on going, it's like, you know what? This is how I can support them. And what I do behind the scenes, one-on-one or with groups of individuals who have been affected, support them in continuing their mission. So that's really, you know, one of the significant motivating factors for me to continue to do what I'm doing.
Oh, that is incredible. So with you in the midst of trauma situations that most of us only face occasionally in our life, what are some of the challenges that you encounter making that your life work?
Well, you know, sometimes I joke, people will ask me, well, what do you do for a living? And, you know, I say, well, I work and provide crisis and disaster response. And they'll say, well, what do you do for hobbies? And I'm like, well, I provide crisis and disaster response. Because I also volunteer on a team that we help, you know, nonprofit organizations and volunteer first responder departments who may not have a contract with an insurance company. We provide support to them. And so in some ways, and in talking to other people who do the same thing I do, it can be difficult at times to remove yourself from that world, to remove yourself from that's all you're doing and seeing and thinking and being. And so I think one of the challenges is to specifically have other hobbies, other interests, and possibly other friends outside of that world. Because if you don't, you're always sort of talking about the same thing. You know, we'll joke when you have a bunch of first responders or crisis responders together, we joke about when you see people getting up from the table next to you, you know that you probably got a little bit too graphic about the last response that you had. Because we're used to talking about disaster and death and things like that over lunch or over dinner or at happy hour, but other people aren't necessarily used to that. So sometimes you have to be careful of, well, is this our whole world? And so the challenge is to do something else outside of that and to remember that there's other things outside of trauma and situations that can be negative or that could be depressing.
Yeah, I can see how that would be, because it's something that if you're dedicated to it, it's just doing so much good in the world that I can see how that would tend to take over your whole life. So how do you diversify your interests? What tools do you use personally to diversify and become more well-rounded around that, since you're so dedicated?
Well, one of the things that I try to do is I meditate on a daily basis. And I try to make sure I take that time out and I have time to, you know, center myself, quiet my mind, get into a very peaceful, relaxed state before I start the day, because I never quite know what the day is going to look like. I also, as much as possible, and as I recommend to everybody else, because it's a healthy thing to do, to incorporate regular exercise into my week. Now, maybe I don't get that done every day, but, you know, 4 to 5 times a week, make sure that I'm exercising. The other thing that I make sure that I do, and I've done a better job at the last several years, is I try not to get caught up in watching too much news. Because our news today, even though I think sometimes, you know, I want to give journalists credit, sometimes they might try to focus on the positive, but it seems there's so many things going on that they can report about that has a negative perspective or that is traumatic, because there's so many things going on in our world today. And the more that we view that and the more we focus on that in the news or in reading the paper, then that negativity permeates our thoughts, it permeates our mood. And so because I know I'm going to deal with that in my professional life, I try to limit the exposure to that when I have downtime. The other thing is I talk to my friends. And again, a lot of my friends are in the first responder world. So on one hand, that's very helpful because they have an understanding. If I need to process a particularly difficult response or call or dealing with a client or patient, I can process that with them. So we have that common understanding. And also my family. They are a very good support system. I know whenever I need to talk to any of my family members, I can reach out to them and they're going to be supportive and, you know, listen to what I have to say, not necessarily give me advice or tell me what to do, but be a sounding board. So, and I love to take vacations. I don't have as many as I would like, but spending time on the beach, that's one of my favorite things to do and really allows me to relax and take some time out and get rejuvenated and ready for whatever I might face the next day.
Oh, all of those things sound so wonderful, really, really amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And for people who have gone through some sort of major trauma, what are a few tips that you could share with them if they haven't gotten started back on the road to, you know, to really a healthy mindset and a joyful life?
I think one of the things that people can do is try to accept that the trauma or whatever has happened to them does not define them. Yes, a traumatic incident has happened. It can be a traumatic loss of life. It could be sexual assault. It could be combat related. Whatever that trauma or significant situation is to them, and even though at the time it is so devastating and overwhelming for them, if they could take a step back and realize that, yes, there are going to be thoughts and memories from that, but it doesn't have to impact and negate who that person was before the incident. What were their skills? What were their talents? What were their gifts? What were their dreams? And this event does not have to take all of that away. Now, it might take them time, you know, a few months or longer, to put this incident into perspective, and it will probably take them talking to somebody, whether it's their pastor, a therapist, a coach. But they can put it into a perspective that allows them to live their life and to live a fulfilling life. Even though oftentimes when people are hit with a significant tragedy, they oftentimes don't see a future for themselves. And the reality is, we always have a future. It may be different than what we had envisioned. It may be different than what we had wanted. But we are always capable of creating a new future. And sometimes when we're in the midst of that tragedy and the pain and our sense of loss, we lose sight of what we have accomplished in the past and that we have the ability to accomplish a future.
Oh, so that's beautiful.
Yeah, so my biggest recommendation would be that people who are experiencing something significant and devastating in their life, that remember, there are people out there that are prepared and available to help them through that, even though there's even pain in processing and moving forward.
That is really beautiful. Thank you so much for that. Any other suggestions you might have?
I think another thing, besides somebody getting some individual help, there are a lot of group resources out there also for individuals who are dealing with significant loss, whether it's a loss to themselves or a loss of someone close to them. So I think that the best thing a person can do is to reach out to others. That really is the most important thing. Instead of stagnating or staying stuck, it's almost like locking ourselves into our house and we don't ever go out again, and we know that that's not helpful and that's not healthy. But those are, you know, some of the main things to do when somebody is dealing with trauma or significant loss.
So do you have an example, either for yourself or for something that you've experienced out there in this wonderful world that you've created for others, that is an example of how people have turned things around? Do you have a favorite story?
Wow, to pick one.
I know. You've got so many, I'm sure.
You know, I guess off the top of my head, there's so many individuals that I have worked with and that I have helped. You know, they've gone through therapy, they've gone through dealing with their traumas. And so right now I can't pull one up to give you an example of, oh, now look at where they are today. Because they've been so many. And most of them return back to work. You know, the first responders are going back to their fire departments or police departments. Military members are, you know, either going back to work or maybe deciding that it is a time for them to retire. But they're retiring now in a different state of mind and have a focus on their future rather than leaving the military and not feeling that they can be productive or do anything else. But I don't have one particular patient or client in mind, you know, to give their success story.
Well, that's totally understandable because you've contributed so much and done so much for so many. I was wondering, what do you think is the greatest lesson you've learned by working in this field and being able to turn people around to totally productive and joyful lives from a place that was much darker?
Well, one of the things that I have learned from helping others and working in helping them to have a better frame of mind in regards to what's happening in their life, and one of the things that I also work on a daily basis is accepting challenges and opportunities that are presented to us. Because if we want to move forward through something that is bothering us, it's not staying stuck in that one place. It's not thinking that there's not any options, because there are always options. And we move forward by taking advantage of the opportunities before us. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we have to weigh, well, if I accept this challenge and opportunity, how does that change my life? How do I know that it's really going to make it better? How do I know that I'm really going to grow from it? But if we don't step outside of what we know and what we're familiar with, how do we continue to learn and grow as an individual or within our relationships or within our career? So I really do think that accepting opportunity and stepping outside of our comfort zone can be very productive in moving us forward, whether it's moving us forward from a job we don't like, moving us forward after a trauma, moving us forward in finding a relationship, but it's accepting those opportunities and sort of crossing that line of comfort that we've drawn in the sand.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Really, really beautiful. So time has just flown with you. Do you have any other comments that you'd like to share with people or any other thoughts regarding how they can take trauma and make it work for them?
Well, I think the other thing that I talk with a lot of the people that I work with and that I also have used myself is that as we are on our journey, and whatever that journey may be, we may experience setbacks. We may experience things in our lives that cause us to stop along our way and maybe sort of regroup. And I guess one of the things I think is so important is not seeing those setbacks as a failure. One of the things that I learned early on and that I use to keep myself going in regards to any situation that I'm facing is anything that does not work out the way I want it to is not a failure, but is a lesson in how to achieve success in a different way. So I don't view setbacks. I don't view not getting the job I want or not getting the promotion or not, you know, being able to go on vacation when I want. I don't see any of those things as a failure. But what do I do differently to achieve it in a different way? What do I need to change about myself that will make me better able to accept whatever that success was when I achieve it?
Oh, I love that. That's just wonderful. I know that everyone will want to connect with you and learn more about the wonderful things you're doing. Is there a website where they can do that?
Yes, they can go to crisisresponseconsulting.com, and they also can email me at Denise at crisisresponseconsulting.com.
Fabulous. Denise, thank you so much for being with us and just really shining a bright light on my day, and I'm sure everyone who's listening. I just so appreciate you sharing all of this touching and wise information with us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Vicki, that you've given me to do this. So hopefully anything that I've said and people listen to, it will help them. If they need to connect, they can connect with me. Or there's always local resources in their communities. If they look in the phone book, they look on the website, there's going to be an organization, a group, a nonprofit that can provide them support with whatever they're dealing with.
Yes, and I also wanted to mention that we so appreciate the fact that you'll be contributing to our next book and our series of bestsellers, The Voyage to Your Vision, which will be released coming out in a few months. So thank you, too, for that contribution. Really, really appreciate it, Denise.
Well, you're welcome, Vicki.
And for anyone who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, and global communities and broadcasts, you can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. Until next time, everyone have a wonderful week.